tuned to yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Comedy coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear a movie adaptation on the Academy Award Theater with Lana Turner. But right now, it's Blue Ribbon Town, starring Groucho Marx, with special guest Charles Laughton, from January 8, 1944, on CBS.
Blue Ribbon Beer presents Blue Ribbon Town, starring Groucho Marx, with his special guest, Charles Laughton.
Come on down to Blue Ribbon Town, where you'll find your daily care.
With one of Beverly Hills' leading citizens, Charles Laughton, coming to visit the leading citizen of Blue Ribbon Town, there's a happy time in store tonight. Among the Blue Ribbon greeters are Faye McKenzie, Bill Days, Leo Gorsi, Robert Armbruster, and his Blue Ribbon blenders. Yours truly, Ken Niles. And here in his parlor, completely recovered from his automobile accident, which he thinks is now a thing of the past, is our producer of laughter and smasher of lampposts, Groucho Marx.
Hey, Groucho, how are you feeling?
Fine, Armbruster, fine. What a wonderful day. I just went into a gas station and told the attendant to give me 16 gallons of gas.
16 gallons? Did you have enough coupons for 16 gallons?
Oh, I didn't have to worry about coupons.
You didn't?
No, he didn't have any gas. I didn't have any car, either. It's still in the garage being fixed after my automobile accident.
You know, Groucho, to look at you, it's hard to believe that you were ever banged up by a lamppost.
Maybe so, but yesterday I couldn't get out of bed all day.
You mean you were so weak?
No, the string of my pajamas was caught in the bedpost.
Hello, Bobby. Hi, Groucho. Gee, it's nice to see you back in form again.
Thank you, Faye, and it's nice to see your form back again. Come in, if that's what you had in mind.
Are you Groucho Marx?
Yes, I'm Groucho Marx.
Oh, fine, take this. Goodbye.
I thought I'd never get rid of that guy.
What's in the envelope he gave you, Groucho? Aren't you going to open it?
I might as well. I need the exercise. Oh, it's a Christmas card.
Christmas card? At this date?
Thank me. It says, greetings. And it's from Beverly Hills. Sweet kid, Beverly.
Groucho, that's not a Christmas card. It's a summons.
A summons? A fine kettle of fish. The city of Beverly Hills is suing me for running into that lamppost, and they demand I pay $498.24. What's the 24 cents for? I don't know. Probably amusement tax.
Well, Groucho, there's only one sensible way to look at this. The damage has been done, and you've got to pay the piper.
Pay the piper? I should say not. I'll pay Beverly Hills and let the piper collect from them. By the way, has anybody seen the morning piper? I get scotch every once in a while.
Well, Groucho, I'm glad you admit you're wrong.
Yes, Faye, I made a mistake, and I must pay the consequences. Now I've got to pay three people. Beverly Hills, the piper, and the consequences. Has anybody seen the evening piper? Oh, well, I've got to pay so that I ruined the lamppost, and I should pay for it. There's only one little thing I want to do first.
What's that?
See if I can find somebody who can get me out of it. Now, who do I know who has influence in Beverly Hills?
Well, Groucho, don't you have a lot of friends and pictures?
Yes, but it would take an awful long time to get them out of the frame. Say, I know a prominent citizen of Beverly Hills who can help me. Charlie Laughton. He's very influential in civic affairs there.
He is? Well, why don't you call him Groucho?
Silly to call him Groucho. His name is Charlie.
Groucho.
I've nothing to say to Charlie Groucho. But you've given me a great idea. I'll call Charlie Laughton. Well, Niles, while I put through the call to Laughton, you can discuss your favorite subject.
My favorite subject? Whatever are you talking about, Mr.
Laughton? Oh, come. Stop the stalling, Niles. We're waiting. It's time for a little paps-to-paps talk.
Sorry, Groucho. On that subject, I've prepared nary a word tonight. Nary a word. Sorry, sir.
The man's mad. Oh, well, I guess it's up to me to say a few words about Pat. Ah, Pat. Neighbors, do you realize the tremendous popularity of Pat's Blue Ribbon Beer? Why, if all the empty Pat's beer bottles were stretched end to end across the country, there'd be an awful lot of flat tires on the Lincoln Highway. Are there any questions? Will all the married women in the audience raise their hands? Oh, well, I've got to call Lawton.
Go ahead, Groucho, while we relax and listen as our Blue Ribbon Blender sing a tune dedicated to your experiences with the city of Beverly Hills. I'm riding for a fall.
I'm riding for a fall. Tooting up in the church inside. For the gal with the big blue eyes. Oh, I'm riding for a fall. Tooting up in the two phone tune. For the gal with the baby blue. Oh, yeah, my own. She's a dangerous critter, I know.
I've hardly put down the receiver, and here's my friend, Charles Lawton. Charlie, how are you, Charlie, old bean?
Fine, Groucho, old bean. It's nice to see you again, old bean.
It's nice to see you again, old bean.
This place is full of old beans, isn't it? Tell me, Groucho, old pal, what is this little scrape you've gotten yourself into, old pal?
Oh, it's really nothing, old pal. The city of Beverly Hills is suing me on an absurd charge for a trivial sum of money. Old pal. We've got enough old pals in here to eat those old beans.
What about this lawsuit? What can I do for you, old chum?
Well, old chum, with your influence, I thought you could get them to forget the whole thing, old chum, old pal, old bean.
Oh, it's entirely possible, old chum. I say, Groucho, you better tell those old pals to save some of those old beans for those old chums.
Anyhow, tell me, Charlie, are you good at, adjusting things?
I rather think I am. Several years ago, someone donated a Florida grapefruit tree to Beverly Hills and just planted in the park. A friend of mine found one of the grapefruit on the ground and was arrested for picking it, but I got him off.
Did you prove he didn't pick it?
No, I proved insanity. What Californian in his right mind would pick a Florida grapefruit? Now, this trivial sum you're sued for, just how much is it?
Oh, 24 cents.
Only 24 cents?
Well, that's the trivial part of it. The sum is $498.
Well, that is quite a sum. What did you do? Knock over a lamppost? Takes a pretty stupid driver to knock over a lamppost.
Meet the stupidest driver in Beverly Hills.
How do you do?
How do you... Charlie, it really wasn't my fault. I was driving along the boulevard when suddenly this lamppost ran over in front of me and struck me.
Are you sure you didn't strike the lamppost?
Well, that depends on whose side you're on. Hello, Mr. Mark.
Hello, Bill.
Bill, I'd like you to meet one of our most distinguished screen actors, one of the most popular members of the English colony in Hollywood.
How do you do?
How do you do? Gosh, just think, I'm standing here shaking hands with Ronald Coleman.
Bill, this is Charlie Lawton.
Oh, that's a natural mistake. Why, the other day I was taken for Tyrone Power.
That's nothing. The other day I was taken for $30 in a crap game. That was a natural mistake, too.
Now, let me see. Where were we?
I was in a crap game. I don't know where you were.
Dreaming I was Tyrone Power.
Oh, yeah, more power to you, Charlie.
We were discussing Mr. Marx's little accident.
Mr. Marx's little accident? Why, he drove smack into a lamppost.
Bill, I was.
Oh,
like...
did he?
Why did he wreck it?
Bill, Mr. Lawton isn't interested.
And what I can't understand is that if Mr. Marx was driving on the wrong side of the street like he usually does, how did he happen to hit a lamppost on the right side of the street?
The wrong side of the street, huh?
Bill, would you mind answering the telephone?
There must be something wrong with my ears. I don't hear anything ringing.
You step outside for a minute, and I'll fix that.
Groucho, I'm disappointed in you. You've deliberately misrepresented this case to me.
Oh, I did not. I may have lied a little.
A little? You've not only camouflaged the details, but you've withheld the pertinent facts about this accident, which is obviously entirely your fault, and if you want my opinion, Groucho Marx, yes, you're a bad boy.
I want my mama.
I'll see you later, Mr. Marks.
Look, Charlie, you're taking the wrong attitude. I only was driving...
That's enough, Marks. You attempted through conniving and trickery to make me a party to a plot to swindle the beautiful city of Beverly Hills. And as a loyal citizen of said city, I intend to see that you are brought to justice.
But, Charlie, you promised to help me.
I won't help you, Groucho Marx. You're a menace to society, and my duty is clear.
Hiya, Marty.
Yes, Groucho Marx, I'm going to see that you're put behind bars. That's where every criminal belongs.
So long, Marty.
Are you a friend of his?
I ain't talking, copper.
What do you know about this accident?
I don't know nothing about nothing.
That's one of the most accurate statements I've ever heard.
Besides, Flatfoot, you can't take me in without a writ of habeas corpus.
Utter nonsense, young man. If you don't stop this childish blabber, you'll be regarded as a moron.
So what? Since when is that a crime in this state?
Young man, what I'm trying to say is that you appear so completely devoid of normal intellect as to border on stupidity. Isn't that what you say, Groucho?
I don't know. What does it mean?
It means he's nuts. Now, come on, Mark. Get your things together. I'm taking you to Beverly Hills.
Wait a minute, Marcy. Don't let him take you without a lawyer. I'll get one for you. I'll get my cousin.
That's fine. How long will it take you to get him?
Well, I don't know. He just started law school yesterday.
Presiding.
Order in the court.
Good morning, Judge. Did you have a nice 2-week vacation?
Yes, Bailiff, but I feel so rusty, I think I'll warm up a bit. 10 years of hard labor. 20 years at San Quentin. 30 years at Alcatraz. Well, proceed with the case. I'm warmed up now.
Didn't we wait till you cool?
No, I am not.
I see. In that case, you'll have to press your own suit.
I'll be glad to. Can I borrow your ironing board? Shall we pan?
I mean, you'll have to be your own counsel. Now, Mr. Lawton, as counsel for the beautiful city of Beverly Hills, you may state the charge.
Your Honor, I propose to prove that Groucho Marx is irresponsible, negligent, blonde crazy.
Blonde crazy? Your Honor, I resent that.
Do you deny it?
No, I just resent it.
Proceed, Mr. Lawton.
I don't even resent it.
Very well. Your Honor, I propose to prove that not only should this reckless, foul fiend, Groucho Marx, be forced to pay for the lamppost he so brutally assaulted, but I shall ask that he be made to pay the supreme penalty. The supreme penalty, mind you, of being barred from driving in the beautiful city of beautiful Beverly Hills.
No, no. No, no, not that. Take away my Kleenex. Take away my bobby pin. But don't forbid me to drive in the beautiful city of beautiful Beverly, beautiful Hills. I couldn't stand that. I couldn't stand it. I tell you, I couldn't stand it. See what I could have done with one more dramatic lesson.
Order, order, Mr. Marks, order. Let's have no more emotional outbursts. You may proceed, Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, first, in order to establish the defendant's guilt, I wish to call to stand to the stand the arresting officer, Timothy O'Toole.
Call Officer O'Toole to the stand.
Call for Timothy O'Toole! Call for Timothy O'Toole! They couldn't get Philip Morris.
All right, here I am. Quiz me, fatso.
Okay, nerd. Now, as the arresting officer in this case, will you tell the court what happened, please?
Frightening. I was driving along wonderful Wilshire Boulevard in my patrol jalopy. The radio was on, and I'm listening to Sinatra sing All or Nothing at All. Then I hear the crash, so I keep going.
Why didn't you stop when you heard the crash?
I figured it was just a couple of dames in the audience swooning at Frankie again. Then in my rearview mirror, I see an awful wreck. Backing up, I find that this here Groucho Marx, armed with a smoking Cadillac, has committed murder on one of the sweetest, truest lampposts a beautiful boulevard ever raised.
Then in your opinion, There is no doubt of Mr. Marks' guilt in this case.
In my nimble opinion, I would say that on the part of Groucho Marx, this accident is a case of absolute recklessness and gross negligence.
Judge, that's a pretty scanty statement.
Mr. Marks, do you wish to cross-examine the witness, or will you waive your right?
Not unless he waves his left. But I do have something to ask him. Officer, how far were you from the accident when it took place?
5 feet, 3¾ inches.
I see. How do you know that that was precisely the distance?
Because I knew some jerk like you was going to ask me, so I measured it.
Your witness, Jerk.
Your Honor, now that we have established the guilt of this jerk, we wish to show the court why the sum of $498.24 is not exorbitant. Due to the metal shortage, we will be unable to replace the lamppost for 3 months, during which time we are forced to hire a man to stand on the corner holding a lamp on his head.
Your Honor, I object.
State your objection.
If I have to pay all that money, I demand that a woman be hired to hold the light. As a matter of fact, I think I can get a woman to do the job for nothing.
You can?
Believe me, there are at least 10 women who've been carrying the torch for me for years.
Your Honor, I should like to call my next witness. Casual Frisket, take the stand.
Yeah. What do you want?
Frisket, what is your occupation?
I've been hired to take the place of a lamppost. I stand in the corner with a lighted bulb on my head.
Every night?
Yep. From 6 o'clock in the evening until 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm all lit up. Can I go now?
Yes, that will be all, Mr. Frisket. But the next time you're in the courtroom, please remove your hat.
What, and expose my bulb? So long,
Now, proceed, Mr. Lawton.
Okay. Very well, Your Honor. I wish to sum up my case. This monster Groucho Marx cowering before you deserves no mercy whatsoever. Here is a man who, sitting behind the wheel of his homicidal Cadillac, sneaked up on a defenseless little lamppost. Sneaked up, mind you, and hit this lamppost while its light was turned. Your Honor, look at this box of broken, twisted metal, which before it met the defendant was once a proud and stately lamppost. A lamppost that had everything to live for. A lamppost that had worked its way up from a side street in Pomona. The wonderful Wilshire Boulevard in beautiful Beverly Hills. And here it is, cut down at the very height of its career by this fiend who sits before you. Your Honor, I ask for a verdict of guilty. I rest my lamppost.
Mr. Marks, there is still time for you to change your plea to guilty. In that case, you can plead for clemency.
Why should I plead for clemency? Let clemency get his own lawyer.
Please stop wasting the court's time. If you have any defense, plead it.
Your Honor, I have been called a monster and a fiend because my car seemingly assaulted this, quote, innocent, unquote, lamppost. However, this is not a case of brutality. This is a case of love. My Cadillac loved that tall, dark, and handsome lamppost. Yes, loved it. Not wisely, but too well. Every day as I drove past, that post would wink its lamp, and my Cadillac would blush and shyly lower a headlight. Yes, my car loved that post, but the lamppost remained cold and aloof, while my car smoldered with unrequited love, its engine sputtering, its carburetor sobbing, eating its gas out. But on the night of the accident, the lamppost smiled at my Cadillac with a new, tender, inviting light. My car rushed forward, out of control, and embraced the lamppost. What a smack. What an accident. What a mess. I rest my Cadillac.
It is the court's decision that Groucho Marx pay for the lamppost. But it would be inhuman to deprive him of the privilege of driving in the beautiful city of beautiful Beverly Hills. Court adjourned.
Well, Lawton, at least I won half of my case. No hard feelings, old pal.
Of course not, old chum.
Well, I guess I'll drive back to Blue Ribbon Town now. See you again, old bean. Ah, it certainly feels good to be driving along here in Beverly Hills with a clear conscience. I think I'll open this window. Darn it, it's stuck again. I better use both hands. Well, it's time for Fay McKenzie to...
Wait just a minute, Groucho. This time I have a message from Pabst.
Well, the man's reformed. Go ahead, Niles.
The first announcement of the $50,000 Pabst Post-War Employment Awards was made a little more than a month ago. Since then, the awards committee has already received a number of entries for the awards, in addition to many hundreds of inquiries about the competition. Because of the widespread interest in the Pabst Awards, we're going to take just a few moments to answer some of the questions most commonly asked. Here's the first question. Why were the awards established? The awards were established by the Pabst Brewing Company in observance of the 100th anniversary of the founding of its business, in the hope of making a worthwhile contribution to the solution of a great national problem, post-war employment.
What are the awards?
There is a first award of $25,000, a second award of $10,000, and 15 additional awards of $1,000 each. And all awards are payable in United States war bonds at current purchase prices.
What is the basis of judging the entries?
The winning awards will be those which, in the opinion of the Board of Judges, offer the best and most constructive plans for post-war employment in the United States. Who are the judges? Dr. Clarence Dykstra, Dr. Wesley C. Mitchell, Mr. Beardsley Rummel, and Mr. A.F. Whitney. Members of the faculty of Columbia University will serve as consultants to the Board of Judges.
To what practical use will the winning post-war employment plans be put?
At the close of the competition, copies of the winning plans will be turned over to responsible officials of the government. In addition, copies will be made available for study by any other agency, public or private, which concerns itself with the problems of post-war employment.
In what form should entries be submitted?
In the form of a signed written statement of a contestant's post-war employment plan in not to exceed 2,000 words. However, each contestant may furnish additional material in support of his plan.
When does the competition close?
February 7th, 1944.
Where can I get a copy of the rules covering the competition?
You can obtain full information about the Pabst Awards, including the official rules, by which all contestants are bound, by writing Pabst Post-War Employment Awards, 551 Fifth Avenue, New York. That's Pabst Post-War Employment Awards, 551 Fifth Avenue, New York.
Well, Groucho, it's time for me to go back to beautiful Beverly, beautiful hills. But before I do, I want to thank you for showing me such a beautiful time, beautiful Groucho.
Oh, think nothing of it, beautiful dreamer.
Who's visiting you next week, Groucho?
Another fine actor and great personality, Lionel Barrymore.
That's right, Mr. Lawton. Next week, the mayor of Springdale will meet the leading citizen of Blue Ribbon Town.
Yes, and I'll show that Barrymore a thing or two about politics and acting.
Why, Groucho, I didn't know you were a politician or an actor.
Why, you beautiful Lawton, you. Touché, old bean.
Well, good night, Groucho, old pal. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Charlie, old chum.
Charles Lawton will soon be seen in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's The Canterville Ghost. This program was directed by Dick Mack and is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Peoria, Illinois, and Milwaukee.
Blue Ribbon Town, on Tuned to Yesterday, a comedy variety series that was short-lived with Groucho Marx as star. That CBS broadcast, one of the earliest surviving from the series, from January 8, 1944. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to the comedy romance, Vivacious Lady, a motion picture originally starring Ginger Rogers and Jimmy Stewart, adapted on the Academy Award Theater with Lana Turner and Gerald Moore. The CBS episode from August 14th, 1946.
The House of Squibb presents Academy Award. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses. Techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. And now, E.R. Squibb and Sons, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, bring you one of the loveliest stars in motion pictures, Lana Turner. Tonight you will hear Miss Turner in one of Hollywood's most entertaining comedies, The Vicious Lady, the picture which, for Best Photography of the Year, was nominated for the 1938 Academy Award.
Ever married a botanist? Well, I'll never do it again. As a matter of fact, I don't have to. I'm going to stick to my great, big, wonderful husband till death do us part. So help me. I was singing and dancing in a nightclub on 52nd Street and doing very well, if I do say so myself. I was making money, keeping the wolves away from the door, and Hollywood was nearer than Central Park. And then I saw the professor. Well, you can say that it was love at first sight. And when I looked again, I was married. Mrs. Peter Morgan III. Imagine me, the bombshell of Broadway on Saturday and back to school on Monday. All because of love and a wedding ring. It seems Peter was afraid to tell his father we were married. That is, right away. So I revert to Bobby Socks and pose as a student. And I can't even tell the other kids my father-in-law is president of the university. Well, you can tell the public I went to college all right. I took my degree in double talk at Old Sharon.
This is the campus lake, honey. But first, before we leave the car, I'd better give you this question for the exam tomorrow. I want you to know all the answers.
Oh, darling, you're so clever.
Oh? Well, let me see. Now, this question, Francie, has to do with...
You know, Peter, when I'm alone with you, I get the same sensation I got when I rode on a roller coaster for the first time.
Oh? Well, the question concerns itself with cleavage in primary plant life. Yes. Only the trouble with me is I never get to be alone with you.
Yes. Yes, Peter. Go on.
Well, you know, Francie, this botany is very simple if you don't let the terminology confuse you.
Do you feel that way about me?
Huh? What way?
Well, like you're on a roller coaster.
Oh, yes. Now, primary plant life has a peculiar method of propagating itself. We know no reason for this, but suddenly a one-cell plant...
Well, if you do feel the same way, why don't you tell me?
We'll begin to show indentations. Oh, Francie, I love you so.
You know, we are married. Oh, the meanie and spotlights, too.
Oh, let's get out of the car. Come on, Francie. This is the school boathouse.
Oh, I'd love to see your boats.
Well, there's a campus motorboat. We can sit in that.
Well, wait, help me.
Oh, I'll hold you. Just step across. Now, sit here. It's quiet, isn't it?
Yes.
It gets quite a play from the students in the springtime, but it's not a bit crowded this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Alone at last. Well, where are you?
Right here. In the front seat. Take my hand. Sit down. There. How about a kiss, Mrs. Peter Morgan?
Nobody uses this place.
Oh, come on. We've got to get out of here.
Well, I can't see anything. Help me up.
I can't get up. Oh, wait. I'll get hold of this rope.
stop it. Stop. We're heading out into the lake. Steer the thing.
I can't stop. I am steering.
Hey, look out! You're heading for the dock!
Nobody ever uses the lake, huh? Hmm. Oh, Peter, if ever a girl felt unmarried, I do. Darling, do you think your father might be cooled off enough now so that we could tell him we're married?
Look out for the barbed wire, honey.
Oh.
You gotta crawl under. And we gotta get out of these woods into our car.
Yes or no?
Well, hot or cool, we're gonna tell Father tonight. He's over at the university now making his speech.
Oh, well, I'd better wait outside. It would be just my luck to sneeze and kill his point.
Yeah. Hey, oh, wait, there's a cop.
Where? In the tree?
No. No, waiting beside our car.
Well, it's our car, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're not supposed to be parked there. It's against the rules of the university.
Hey, you, hold on there. Just a minute now.
Good evening, officer. We've been studying.
In the woods? This time of night? Studying what?
Botany. I'm in this class.
Yeah, class 207.
Yeah? Sure.
Now, wait a minute, officer. I can explain.
You better.
Well, you see, nobody knows this. Nobody at all. But this little girl and I are married.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. I got a good notion to haul you in right here and now. I got a good... Why, sure, my little lammy pie. Popsy is coming right away.
Get in that car and get out of here. You're interfering with the law.
Will you sit down a moment?
Didn't you get the notice I sent? I've got to make a speech in 5 minutes.
Now, Dad, you better sit down. I have something very important to tell you.
Now, Mr. Noble is endowing us with a new library. And the least we can do is to honor him with our presence. Now, please, come, get your cap and gown.
Well, it just so happens that this is much more important to me than Mr. Noble.
At this moment, your problems are secondary. Now, I must go in now.
Dad, she's my wife.
What was that you said?
I said that girl is my wife. And she's the finest wife any man could have.
Peter, are you mad?
Oh, completely, sir. And I hope it's a permanent condition.
I won't have you toss your life away.
Well, it's my life, and you might let me please do what I want with it.
You're a professor in this university with a future that might eventually lead to its presidency. Mind you, I said might.
Father, are you all right? They're waiting for you in the auditorium.
Oh, I'm all right, Mother. It's this boy.
Oh, Mother, I'm glad you're here.
Oh, be quiet. You know your mother has a weak heart.
I won't be quiet. I've been quiet long enough.
Oh,
Mother. Mother, are you all right?
I feel faint. I'll be all right in just a moment.
Oh, Peter, you'll kill your mother.
Now, Dad, this is something you can't change.
Until we can discuss this further, I wish you wouldn't say anything about it to your mother.
But, Dad, I've got to.
If you don't care about her welfare, I do.
Peter, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing, Mother, nothing at all.
Well, here we are, Peter. This is where I live, remember?
Yeah.
Darling, ever since I came here, I've been ducking corners, sneaking about, hiding places. And if loving you means ducking and sneaking some more, I'm willing to do it.
Oh, I don't want you to. You see, I just couldn't tell Mother. She's been ill for a long time, and we couldn't shock her.
Why should it be such a shock?
Well, you see, you're not... Well, it's just...
Kiss me, Peter.
Oh, sure. What was that for?
Goodbye.
Oh. What? Hey, Francie, wait a minute. Francie!
Look here, you. Remember our house rules. No gentlemen, I do mean gentlemen, are allowed above stairs in the girls' apartments.
Oh, yeah?
Now, don't you try anything rough. And besides, I wear glasses. I always wear them. I haven't got them on now because they're being fixed. And it's against the law to hit a man with glasses on.
Hello. Would you get me a compartment on the 1 a.m. train for New York? Yes, and please send up for my bags. Yes, I'm leaving.
Will you get that darn curtain off my face? I can't see.
Pete, how did you get up here?
Fire escape. Thanks. Oh, Francie, you mustn't be angry. You can't leave me. If you try it, I'll shout out the window that I'm here. I've got a right to be here.
I've made up my mind.
Well, what about our mind? We're not supposed to have separate minds. What in heck is that?
Oh, that's the Murphy bed. It keeps coming down all the time. Here, I'll push it back.
Oh, let it stay down.
No, you sit on that chair.
No. I'll just watch until you leave. I promise I won't say anything or do anything. I'll just sit here.
All right. Well, I guess you better kiss me goodbye.
Yeah.
We try to be alone and can't be. And now when we're saying goodbye, we're alone and we have to say goodbye.
Do we have to, dear?
Well, you know we do.
Yes.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Will you write to me?
Oh, every day.
Oh, please make it twice a day.
Three times a day.
What will you say?
I'll say, dear Francie.
Oh, please make it stronger.
Francie, darling.
Yes, dear.
Oh, Francie, darling, I'm miserable without you.
Three times a day?
Yes.
Oh, goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Well, I'm all packed, so here goes. You start out the window and I'll start out the door.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, darling. Oh, Walter. Oh, there he goes again.
Who's Walter?
Oh, the bed. The maid calls it Walter because it's just like her husband, always falling down.
Oh. Well, wait a minute and I'll help you.
Well, you know, once I just opened the desk and it came down.
Oh? Comes down easily?
You better go now.
There's a cop down there.
He might shoot you for a burglar.
That's right. I think maybe I'd better stay here until he goes, huh?
Oh. Well, all right. I have a few minutes, so I'll stay, too. Oh, but what if they find you here? Oh, it would be awful if it got around that you were found in a woman's room.
Yeah. Especially without a woman.
Well, I never believe you. Oh, Pete. I can't go.
Now you're really making sense.
Who's there?
The clerk. I've got your tickets. Your train leaves in 15 minutes.
Oh, never mind. Go on, beat it. She's not going. You can return the tickets, too.
Who's in there? Open the door. You know it's against the rules. Open that door.
Oh, see you tomorrow, darling.
See you tomorrow.
Where is he? Where is he?
What, he? What do you mean, he?
What's the matter with you?
I have a cold. Makes my voice hoarse.
Oh, that's too bad. Now, look here. You take some hot tea, lemon, molasses, honey, and butter, and you put them all together.
And they spell mother.
Yes. I mean, no!
Oh, Walter. Oh, no, no!
May I come in?
Why, yes, please do. Won't you sit down?
Do you mind if I remain standing?
Not at all, Mrs. Morgan.
Since you know who I am, it simplifies what I have to say. Young lady, I know everything about you and my son, Peter.
Oh, Mother, I'm so glad. You know, we've been so afraid to tell you we were married. It's pretty hard to think about giving up something you're so crazy about. And I know it sounds silly to fall so completely for anybody in a couple of days, but I did. Oh, one look and I knew he was the one. Well, he's just wonderful and intelligent, too. Well, you know, you're his mother. What did he tell you about me?
He didn't. I figured this out for myself. I think I'll take that chair.
You mean they didn't tell you? Oh, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't have done this for anything. How's your heart? How do you feel?
I think I'm going to feel fine. Just give me a cigarette.
Oh, no, no, your heart. Oh,
nonsense. I only had heart trouble when it was convenient. But my best years of my married life have been spent in bed with heart trouble.
Well, how domestic.
Mr. Morgan.
You'd better sit down, Mother. Now, Miss Brent, you look like a practical young lady.
Please, Father.
Don't interrupt, please.
I'm practical enough to see that Mr. Morgan doesn't approve of me.
Did you expect to be approved of? A girl out of a nightclub? A dancer?
You're impossibly narrow.
I asked you not to interrupt, my dear. Now, Miss Brent, just why did you marry my son?
For a very simple reason. I want to be his wife.
Do you know what it is to be a university professor's wife?
Yes. Your wife just told me.
Then you must realize that your talents run in another direction. I know my son met you in your dance hall, and before he had a chance to catch his breath, you hooked him.
Yes, I hooked him for his very desirable but very underpaid job. Or is his social position, I don't know, I can't remember which. That is what you mean, isn't it?
Exactly.
Mr. Morgan, you're not grading papers or dismissing class. He is my husband.
I was going to suggest a quiet divorce, but since you insist on being unreasonable, I am going to be forced to ask Peter for his resignation.
But you can't do that.
Come, my dear. I have to get back to the university. Come on.
Come on. Come here. Go there. 30 years I've had of it. All for old Sharon, our alma mater. Alma mater, your sons and daughters are true. We love you through and through. Even though you break my son's heart, I still love you through and through. Well, you can have your alma mater. But here's one of her daughters who won't love her true and blue and through and through anymore.
Coming, my dear?
Coming? I'm going.
I'm going too, Mr. Morgan.
Thank you. And now, Mr. Noble, this will complete our tour of the university.
Yes?
I saved this until last. My son's class, you know, pardonable pride. But even if he were someone else's son, it would still be the best conducted class.
Oh, listen, Morgan, I know you. You probably tipped the boy off.
Come on, Culpepper. You can give if you try. Get in there and piss, boy.
Yeah, yes, sir. And so in contemplating plant life, one is inclined to give credence to the legend of Jack and the Beanstalk. After all, beans haven't been altogether the enemy of man.
That's right. That's right. Open discussion. Any questions?
Yes, Professor. I'd like to know, in the reproduction of ferns, which matures first? The male or the female?
Come up, my dear. Come up.
Oh. Yes, Professor?
That is better, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Now, what did you want to know?
In the reproduction of ferns, which matures first? The male or the female?
What difference does it make, silly?
I don't know.
Any more silly questions? Come on. You must have oodles and oodles of questions that need answering. I know I have. I know Culpepper has. Haven't you, Culpepper? Speak up, Culpepper. Speak up.
Well, yes, I have. But at the moment, I don't think I could make it clear.
Yes, well, any man who couldn't make himself understood is an idiot. Understand?
No.
Oh. You're from Texas, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I am. Bless her.
Yippee!
I beg your pardon. Class is dismissed. Please excuse us, gentlemen. You can see that my son isn't feeling well.
Isn't feeling well? I'll bet he never felt better in his life. Don't take it so hard, Morgan. Nothing like a liberal education. I know you'll get the library now. Yippee!
Yippee!
What are you trying to do?
About being the blackguard, sir. How am I doing?
In front of your class. Unforgivable.
Oh. Well, I figure if I did a little blackening of the family name, Francie could fit right in.
Oh, so that's it. It convinces me all the more that you don't know what's good for you.
Well, one of us must be wrong.
And while you're a member of my faculty, you'll do as I say.
Then you may consider me no longer a member of your faculty.
Oh, now, look here, Peter. You don't have to resign.
Oh, surprise, aren't you? You didn't think a Morgan could place anything above the university, huh?
Well, I love it as much as you do. But I refuse to sacrifice one moment of my wife's happiness. Now I'm going to catch up with that train and get her back.
Now, Peter, I won't let you. You're not responsible.
I'm not, huh? Well, I am so responsible. I may have had a touch of grape and grain, but I can walk as steady as a rock.
Oh, Peter! Peter, are you hurt? Peter, now, you know, you'll be all right. Just rest, Peter. Rest.
Well, we've left our husbands.
Yes, for good and all.
Doesn't one feel free? New York's going to be so much fun.
Yes, so many gay places. We can go where we want to.
Do what we want to
and wear what we want to with no husbands to
watch out after us
and bother us.
Oh, Mother, you don't feel good about leaving.
I know I don't, Francie.
Neither do I.
What was I to do? I just had to go through with it.
Oh, but it's all my fault. You were married so long, and I had to come along and cause all this trouble.
Don't worry about me. You've got troubles enough of your own.
But it doesn't matter about Peter and me. I hardly know him.
Your compartment is made up, ma'am.
Good night, Francie. Sleep tight.
Good night, Mother. Sweet dreams.
What's happened, Porter?
We hit a car, ma'am.
Oh, goodness. Anyone hurt?
Nobody seemed to have been in it.
Oh, thank goodness.
We'll be on our way as soon as the track is cleared.
Good night, dear.
Good night, Mother.
Is completely wrecked. There must have been some more sane and less expensive method of stopping this train.
Well, the next time your wife leaves you, I'll let you figure one out by yourself.
I was going to trade that car. The book value was $800.
Well, my wife is worth more than that, and I'm not turning her in.
Oh, now, Peter, this nonsense simply must stop.
Oh, Porter.
Yes, sir?
Porter, there's a lady on the train I want to see. I'll describe her to you. She's blonde.
Oh, yes, sir, and she left her husband.
Yeah.
Huh?
The next car, compartment B.
There's a lady...
The next car, compartment C.
Thank you. Well, my dear, I've come to take you home. Oh, slammed the door right in my face.
Now, look, Dad. You want to walk right through that door this minute, don't you? But you don't know how. Because you've practiced too long being a stuffed shirt.
Well, what would you suggest?
Well, I'd suggest, sir, that you forget everything but what your honeymoon was like.
Excellent suggestion.
Who's there?
It is I.
Go away.
Oh, my dear, darling, I was in that wreck. The train struck me. Oh, my heart. My heart.
Oh, my dear. Oh, goodness, why didn't you tell me? Here, let me help you. Now you lie right down here, and I'll get a cold cloth for your head.
How did you get here?
Oh, now. Now, what sort of a honeymoon would this be without a husband, huh?
Peter, I'm going back to my job. Please go back to yours.
That's what I'm doing.
Oh, please, I'm miserable enough as it is.
Oh, good. I was afraid you wouldn't be.
Well, your father...
Father's on his honeymoon.
Oh... Oh, Peter, I hate New York.
Well, how about Niagara Falls, darling? I could see the engineer about it.
And we'll take those funny pictures, stand on the bridges, and do everything everyone else does.
Certainly.
What?
Well, here we are.
Yes, here we are.
You said it would all end right.
Yes, I certainly did, huh?
You certainly did.
Yes.
Oh, look. The upper berth came down.
Walter?
Some folks' work is never done. Well,
This end this boy's work for the night. Just tie this card on the door. Quiet is requested for the benefit of those who have retired. Yes, sir.
Life drama, it's hard to match the climaxes that come in the vital business of developing and producing life-saving medicines. To be sure you get Squibb quality when you buy, always ask for it by name. Ask for Squibb, a name you can trust. Next Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award starring Gregory Peck in The Keys of the Kingdom. Today's performance of Vivacious Lady was written for radio by Frank Wilson, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you good night until next Wednesday at the same time, when you're invited to listen again to Academy Award, presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Academy Award Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 14th, 1946 on CBS, in the same year that star Lana Turner was appearing alongside John Garfield in the motion picture The Postman Always Rings Twice. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBeaunier. Thanks for tuning in.